we all have dreams, big and small, that create a life in our minds different than our reality. All the while, we watch others seemingly make it happen. I'm Rachel Denson, a farm girl turned mortgage guru, moonlighting as your self-help cheerleader. Together, we'll pull back the curtain with intentional conversations and discover how you get there. It's been a hot minute, and I don't think that's a secret, but hello, How You Get There listeners. We are back. This is my first episode after going to every other week, and it's working already. I'm feeling the magic. Here with me today is Katie Sibbles. She was on the short list to be guest number one. If that tells you anything about what she means to me, our comfort level, I just cannot wait to see what unfolds in the next 60-ish minute. But it's funny how different the notes I have for this episode are than our original episode. And it's also it's a beautiful story in itself, but I'm going to introduce Katie. And along the way, you're going to kind of get a taste of what we're going to cover, because so much, it really just summarizes why she's here and why I want to talk to her today. But before we get into it, you know, Katie and I have talked offline. It's so special to me that she's this first, like, feels like the first episode since I quit trying to record every week. So it's almost like she's my first guest all over again. And it feels like such a restart, which I know that she can relate to and she's going to tell us about, because Katie has listened to the Lord, listened to what she knew were her own boundaries, and has made some similar moves in her life. But also we were talking about just how it, even from the start of How You Get There, Katie and our friendship has grown. The way that I have let her pastor me, in the sense that I've opened up to her. She's always willing to pastor me, but you have to be willing to be pastored. You know, you have to be vulnerable. We've had, you know, our 10-minute voice memos that may take 2.5 days to get through, but our friendship has even grown since I asked her to be one of my first guests. Katie is a wife and a mom of five. She's the executive director of ministries at Purpose Church. Her and her husband, Clint, are business owners. They own CNC Fence Company. Katie is leading a life with a lot of moving parts and a lot of tiny people. She does it a lot of times seemingly genuinely unfrazzled, which is still a mystery to me, but I really believe that it's not surface level unfrazzled, y'all. It's really just her embracing the life she has chosen, and it's beautiful to watch. She still makes time to pour into others, like I mentioned, me being blessed to be one of them, but she's also really attuned to her own spiritual needs and boundaries. We just met 2 years ago, so it's just so crazy to me that we have individually had a lot of life change, but we also were learning about each other and our stories every day. We just had a 30-minute conversation yesterday about a whole part of her, a very important part of her life that I had no idea about yet. And the podcast, I say this so many times, but it's a place where I'm getting people sat down to ask the questions I've always wanted to ask them, but never really comes up in real life. And I am so excited for her to tell us about that. The last couple notes that I know we're going to get to is I said that Katie is somebody who, when we met 2 years ago, I was on the cusp of life change I knew about, and I didn't even know Katie well enough for her to tell me she was also on the cusp of some life change. But amidst that, she really changed my life by being somebody that I said, she took me from being a sideline Sunday attendee at Purpose Church to a true participating member of the body of the church. And I say that in like a churchy way of big C and little C church. And we'll get into that if you don't know what that means. But she has paved her own way so different than mine. But if we relate on so many levels, and I think it's a living, breathing example of how we can all relate to each other, even if something is really different on the surface. So, Katie, thanks for being here.
I'm so excited. So excited. And it's so awkward to listen to introductions about yourself. So I'm glad it's over.
Yeah, you're having to patiently wait for me to get through it. But it's all such good stuff. And I think that Well, I know it's all true, but it really is. I hope it gives our listeners a roadmap of there's so going to be so much stuff that we cover in this episode and that I want to dig into more. One of the things that we talked about was, and we have voice memoed this week, but it's interesting to think about, like, a couple weeks ago, I was sending you voice memos about I am on the verge or am in maybe in the midst, on the verge, maybe in the middle of a breakdown for all aspects. And then, you know, I woke up on Monday after a lot of moving parts helping my mindset shift, feeling so renewed, feeling like me again. I wore my pink shirt today.
I love it.
Really wanted to like feel like somebody was like, oh, you're bright. I'm like, I needed to feel like me today. And I came to you on Monday and was like pumped. I was like, Katie, we've got to do this. Now is our moment. And before it was kind of like, hey, just like no big deal. But like, if you can, you were like, sure, sure. We'll make it happen.
Yeah.
And I just think it like, and then you said that, you know, it was on your heart too, to be here, and it just is also cool.
Yep. I'm excited to be here for sure. And I don't know if I'm allowed to do this, but just want to celebrate you too. Like you having this podcast, you're so genuine. I know it's what people love about you is, you know, we can listen to podcasts of people that we don't know at all personally. And you may have people that listen to it that don't know you at all personally, but I feel like majority of people do know you and they're able to match, you know, who they see in the podcast to your real life. You know, you're the same person all the time. And so just want to shout you out for that for sure.
Well, thanks, Katie. You know, and I think I've talked to, this is something I know I've maybe said on here, and I don't know if you listen, and I totally understand if you don't.
But I
know
do sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yes,
well, we've talked a little bit about that. I can truly, like, there's been life change that has happened that for me, I am so grateful I started this in a season of life where I really could say that. And I don't think I ever lived a life on a screen that wasn't totally me in person, but there were definitely, you know, we talk about like when we just said the other day, when you're walking in the light and you are redeemed and you know that your life looks different because of choices you've made to walk and look and try to act every day like a believer. I wasn't doing that all the time when I started this, but I wanted to say I had those values. I wanted to say that those things mattered. And I, that's one of the best compliments to me, not only because, I mean, it's just for surface level, but personally for me, because I know, you know, I am proud of that because there have been, you know, times in my adult life where I would have tried to show up here one way. And if you saw me out and about, not like being mean to people or anything, but just like I was struggling with my own self to where I couldn't be as vulnerable about all of what's going on. And I'm really at a good spot where I am willing to admit and in a place where stuff I can control, I'm proud of everything I do. Things that I can't control that stress me out, I'm at a point where I can like say, I'm still struggling with this. So thank you for saying that.
Absolutely. You're so welcome.
So before we get started, I do just want to say, and nobody told me to say this, anybody who's listening, I wrote this on my own, but I did feel like it was important because Purpose Church is such a huge part of our story, of our friendship, of our lives. And I hope, you know, my thought is that, you know, there are people that are listening to this that maybe don't go to church, never heard of Purpose Church, you know, or in different walks of their own, in their own spiritual life. And so to assume that some people may be listening to this and not know or know this, that they may need a disclaimer that, you know, any thoughts and feelings expressed in this episode are solely like mine as an individual, Katie's as an individual. We always want to honor and respect Purpose Church because we love it. We love the people there. You know, I know we both believe in the vision, but to experience Purpose Church and to understand the beliefs of Purpose Church, you need to go to Purpose Church. You do not need to go to how you get there. And we are all made up of a body of people with core beliefs, but also, you know, own our own minds and mouths. And so I'm only responsible for Rachel's and Katie's is only responsible for Katie's. So if you want to hear more about Purpose Church, come to Purpose Church, 815 815- 9:45, 11:15. Did I get those right? And if you really want to learn, come and sit with us in the room. If you're watching us on YouTube, Katie's in our next room where the magic happens, where you can learn about purpose and become a member if you want to. So now that we got that little housekeeping out of the way, we'll jump in. Katie, you talked about, you call it your sabbatical. And I had never even heard you call it that. But what's interesting is I've never said this to you, but I remember like Katie got me bought into Purpose Church. And then all of a sudden Katie was like, not there. And I was like real concerned, but did not know anybody really to be like, I didn't want to be the Rachel, like the girl gossiping about our ministers, but I was also like, I thought Katie was like a big deal here and I don't see her at all. And then like, you know what, 3 months later, you were back and you were like, hey, I'm back. And I never really knew you were gone. And that in itself, though, was so powerful to me as a new member of the church that like it wasn't a thing. So, but because of that, we've never talked about it. So I would just love for you to tell me about it in your own words, the whole thing. As much as you're willing to share, is like I said.
Yes. I think the word sabbatical, too, it's so, I don't even know if I know the official definition of it. I feel like if I've used it with anyone, it's because I say it assuming they get it. You know what I mean? Like they know what I'm talking about. And so I would never want to use it with someone that doesn't know what it is, because it's not, for me at the time, I definitely didn't intend on calling it a certain word.
Sabbatical is a rest or break from work. So you, I think, are using it in exact context. Yep.
That's definitely what it was. In church world, I feel like sometimes it's this formal thing, like after so many years, then you get a sabbatical, you know, like, and so there was some ways that I approached it that definitely wasn't formal and definitely wasn't like, okay, this has not been approved. Like, what are you doing? You know? And so even though the definition is exactly what it was, but in the church world, it probably, I don't know that I need to say that.
Professors go on sabbaticals. Like they leave so you know,
okay.
To like do research or whatever. So yeah, it's good to just, I think it's totally appropriate. I love that you
use
it.
Well, I guess I almost feel strange about the word because I felt unworthy at the time to be a person that would need a sabbatical. I think is probably a lot of it. Like, okay, people that have given all these years and time, even though I had done those things. It's just, you know, how we females especially can be. Like, well,
being not identity crisis, but mm-hmm. I can't think I of what I'm trying one. To say.
It'll come to you.
Imposter syndrome.
Yes. Absolutely. I was just very much in my head. But anyways, so leading up to that, we had just transitioned from portable to a permanent church, which is such an exciting time in a church's life, you know, having a building and redoing the building. Used to be a grocery store, so much time, effort, energy into that.
And real quick, tell us recap about how Purpose started for anybody who doesn't know.
Okay, so we started portable in Callaway County Middle School, which a portable church, if you're not in church world, you don't even know what that means. But that means bringing all the things into a middle school every Sunday morning to make church happen, from the chairs kids sat in to the panels that outline a kid's classroom so they can't run away, to the speakers and the stage and all the lights and everything, the chairs for people to sit in. You know, you create somewhat of a portable
everything.
Lobby.
Everything.
Yeah, tables, you know, everything. And then you take it all out when church is over and tear it down. So we'd set up and tear down. But we did that, you know, it was 5 a.m., 5:30 a.m. till 1-ish every Sunday, you know, and probably a little bit longer than that, some bigger Sundays where we were busy. But yeah, so that was portable life. And then we finally, again, it was definitely a great thing for our church to get a permanent building, because you do experience that, like, okay, what is the next step? Like, we're all feeling like we're tired of being portable, you know, and thank God that he sent us this building, because we redid it. It didn't look like a grocery store any longer, and it is beautiful inside and out. And so Purpose Churches as a whole has grown so rapidly in the past 5 years that I think anybody on staff would be able to share somewhat of a similar story of just where they've been in their season as a staff member of, I'm here, then I'm here, then I'm here, then I'm here. Because it's just so much to celebrate, but then so much to take care of. So many people, and just what are we going to do with them? You know, there's so many highs and lows. And I, at the time that this happened, I also had stepped into a new role. So I was over our kids ministry, and then I stepped onto what we call the lead team here at church, which is my current role. And we were hiring someone to step into kids. And so I didn't even know what was happening at the time or why I felt the way I did. I really thought that it was just a time thing. Like, I don't have time. I'm so busy. I don't know how I'm going to make all of it work. And then, of course, once you get out of a season and you look back, it's like, okay, there was a lot more to it than that.
Right.
But even letting go of something that I loved and dreamed about, woke up thinking about every day, went to sleep, you know, thinking about how can this be better? That was kids for me. And so I was losing that. And it definitely was like a grieving time in my life, but I didn't know it. I didn't think that that was it, because I was so excited that we were hiring it. I was so ready, honestly, to step into the executive level position and lead someone and kids, that I thought, it's all happy things. Like, why am I not happy?
Right.
You know? And so I kind of trudged along for a long time. Well, not very long, I guess for 3 or 4 months, I trudged along in this new way of life, new ministry, leadership position for me. And then there was a question in your notes that said, was it more of a quick decision after a breaking point or something you wrestled with? I think I wrestled with it so long, but didn't share with anybody, that it was kind of both. Like, I wrestled for a while, but then it was, to everyone else, it was a breaking point.
Did you know what you were wrestling with, though?
No.
Or did you just know? So you didn't. So it really was like it finally clicked to you about what you needed.
Yes. So everybody else saw it as probably a breaking point. And maybe it was in a way, but I had been feeling how I'd been feeling for a while. I just didn't know why or what to do about it.
Could you articulate it to Clint? Or like when you say yourself, it was really just yourself?
I think more myself. Clint knew how I was feeling, but we almost tried to also misplace the feelings towards other things. Like, maybe it's because this is how we're operating. Like, do we need to change that so that this can happen? You know, like, we just, not to blame, I don't mean that at all, but you look to all the other things that can be the reason why you're feeling that way, rather than, oh, it might just be a me thing. Like, it may just be me.
Right. Know? Like, you guys thought, like, we can fix this.
Yes. Like, yes. We can talk it's to not, Justin. Yes. We can do all these things. And those conversations did take place. But again, I still feel like from the outside looking in, maybe even from an inner circle point of view, it probably did seem like a breaking point. And it just happened so quick. But in my mind, it wasn't quick. It was like, thank the Lord, I finally said something and now I can breathe.
Can you tell us about that? Like, about the exact, do you remember it?
Yeah, I don't remember what my schedule looked like at that point in life. It was probably a Thursday or Friday, but I remember it being at the end of the week towards Sunday being near. And our pastor and I, am I supposed to say names? I have no idea what I'm supposed to do on this podcast. Pastor Dustin and I were texting about it, just texting. And then finally I thought, why am I wasting his time? Like, why am I texting him? I'm just going to send him a voicemail.
Were you texting him like, I'm stressed out?
Yeah. I just don't know what to do. Like, I don't know why my heart feels this way. I feel, you know, I do feel overwhelmed, but at the same time, I almost just wonder, like, am I supposed to do this? Because like I just shared, it was more of, instead of sharing what I felt like was really inside, I started putting it other places. Like, okay, because we're doing this way, I think that I don't need to be there. Or because, you know, anyway, so long story short, he could read through the lines and he was like, I mean, are you saying you need time off? Like, what do you need? And I remember saying, I don't know what I need. Like, I just need something. And that was in text. And then finally, I'm pretty sure, like, you know me very well, I sent him a long voice memo.
In true Katie fashion.
If I remember correctly, he called me, which is also his true fashion. Like, okay, I listened to your voice memo, now I'm going to call you. And my gut is, I don't want to answer the phone. Like, that's why I sent you a voice memo. Like, why are you calling me?
I am Dustin McClain. That is me. If, like, somebody will text me something, and some of my clients will go, like, yeah, I knew you were going to call me. I'm like, this is too much to text. Mm-hmm. Like, throw me a bone.
Listen, if I would have wanted to talk to you on the phone, I would have picked up my phone and I would have called your number.
So did you pick up?
Yes. 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 So I'd already, and again, it's been a little while, I don't remember exactly, but I know that in the voice memo, I basically did say, I don't know how long and I don't really even know why. I just know that I need to step away. And so thank goodness he did call me because he helped me work through it, because he probably was perceiving it as, are you quitting? Like, what are you doing? You know, and I remember even on the phone telling him, like, I understand if it has to be looked at as me quitting, because I am so immersed in how we do things and how staff works that someone can't just do whatever they want for however they want. So if the consequences of this are I can't hold my role anymore, then as sad as that makes me, I'm just so confident that I've got to just step away. And I remember him saying, that is not happening. You are not going to lose your role.
And to make sure people who don't know us know, like, because we are a new church, staff is very small.
Right, right.
They're at that point where it was...
It makes a big impact.
Mm-hmm. Three, right? It was four.
Four.
You were the fourth.
No.
You were the fourth. There were three executives, right?
Lead pastor.
Technically.
Lead pastor, two other executives, plus me.
Right.
Plus a kids director. So five.
But your role was new.
Yes.
And this was the first time there was a hired on just kids director.
Yes. Yes.
So there was, technically. So there was like a lot of.
Yep.
Yeah, because you were not just kids director when you were in that role.
I was doing
you were
both.
Still yeah. all the things.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
And so to lose 25% of the team is like a big deal. So that's why I just wanted to make sure I'm painting the picture. Because, you know, Katie, I'm very like honored. There are people that listen to this that don't know they're not in Murray.
Right.
They may know
right.
me, but like a lot of this may be foreign to them. And I'm so glad they're here
glad
with us. So I don't
that.
Want them to feel like they're like left out. So I'm not trying to interrupt. I just want to make sure we're
No, and I live and breathe it so much that I do assume everyone knows who I'm talking about, what I'm talking about. You know, Callaway County Middle School right down the road. You know where that is.
You said middle school, so I'm like, they don't need to know where it's at. They know it's a stinky middle school. They know what it
is. Yes.
So you were terms with, if I have to quit, I'll quit.
Yes, and not because I want to, just because I know that it impacts people. And I don't know what to say to you on a time frame because I don't know what to do. I just feel so confident that I'm doing people a disservice by operating how I am. And I just feel, you know, like I'm not in the right spot right now in life to just pretend like it's all good, you know? And it wasn't Purpose Church's fault. It was a me thing. You know, it had nothing to do with them, even though I may have tried to say it was, like found other reasons of like, well, it's because of this or it's because of this. It was a me thing for sure. And I just remember him, like, I remember it so vivid and it meant so much to me that he said, and he wasn't giving me permission to be gone forever. It's not what he meant by it, but I just remember him saying, you are not losing your role over feeling confused. Like, I just, you are going to have to talk to me and walk me through it though, you know, because even though he wanted to pastor me there, like I knew there was practical sides of it. There was, what are we going to do? Like, who's going to do your things, you know? And the timing, of course, of having someone step into kids, I'm their overseer. And so you thought that you met me and then I disappeared. Well, same thing for the people that I was overseeing. They're like, well, where'd she go? You know, but long story short, you of course can let me know if I am leaving anything out. But as far as how it got started, that's how it went down. And I was very grateful for his heart in that whole manner. And it was the first time that kind of situation I played out. So I know even looking back at it, now that the church has grown, I have grown, our pastor has grown. It's not funny at all, but we joke sometimes, like he would completely have approached it different. Like, he would have said a time frame. Like, you can't just do whatever you want right now. Like, you've got to let us know, you know, and I would have done it different too, to where I would have been more intentional with that time.
How long were you gone officially?
The end of October to the beginning, to the end of January. So 4 months roundabout. 3.5 to 4 months.
Did you feel immediate relief? Were you like, because I like to say, like, this is so bad, but it's the truth. We talked the other day, Chad was like, you would be bored after like a week of if you didn't have a job. And I was like, right now I'm pretty stressed. I think I would easily enjoy 90 days.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
No
yeah.
doubt in my mind. I don't think I would itch for 90 days. Like, now granted, I'm way better right now. My answer would be different today, but like, I was like so maxed to the nth degree that I, so I just wondered, like, was the relief immediate? How long did it last? When did you start itching? Was that your sign? Like all those things.
Mm-hmm. Well, and something else that I had written some notes to make sure I hit on some things that I knew would help, hopefully would impact people. But I wrote down that what I felt was that I'm in the right place. Like, I know I'm using my gifts. I know I'm supposed to be a minister. Like, I know it, but I feel like something's just being used for the wrong reasons. And I didn't know. So the right place, but for the wrong reasons is still wrong. And so I knew that even though he's gifted me in ministry, like he's put me where I'm supposed to be, I just felt, this is probably not until after it was over, but now that I look back, like what was off was that I was trying to do it all for me. Like, I'm like, look at me, look at all the things I'm good at. Like, of course I can handle that new role because I have those giftings, you know? And if you're a believer, that's not going to work in your life ever. But especially in ministry world, it's like, that's going to take you nowhere. You are going to end up saying peace out for 3.5 months because that's not why we do any of it, you know? And so I was relying on my own strength for sure. And just questioning everything, but this at the same time, I was in the right place. I know I was supposed to be there and I'm supposed to be here, you know, but it was for the wrong reasons. But then flip flop of that, you know, you can be in the wrong place where you're not called for the right reasons, and that's wrong too. So you just have to have, it has to be all aligned by God, you know, the right place for the right reasons is where
you can be in the wrong place for the right reasons.
Mm-hmm. Like, I have these giftings. And I shared this with you the other day. I have these giftings. I want to use them for his glory. But if I'm not where he's called me to use those at, you know, my heart's pure. I want to use them for what he's gifted me for, but I can still be in the wrong place, you know? So you've got to be using the right, you've got to be in the right place for the right reasons for it to be the right thing, you know?
How do you, I think the right reasons part or the, right. Yeah. I think the right reasons part is easier to, like, for most of us to say, okay, yeah, introspection, look at my gifts, look at my why. Right place to me is a little bit harder. How did you, like, if you think, how did you, I guess you never felt like you were in the wrong place, but if somebody, how do you identify if you feel like you're in the wrong place? Cause like, to me, that's the one that I'm like, I don't disagree with you, but that one's harder. Yeah. Like, but how do I know that, Katie? Like,
well, I don't really know. You need to ask the Lord.
Okay, so that's really.
I'm trying to think practically. I don't know if I would have any good practical answer. Because
I think
that.
That's okay. I just think that one I like it. It's true. I don't disagree with it, but it is. That's where, you know, really, and I think. Something for me that I know I have grown in a lot is, and I'm still growing in that I struggle with of like you just said, the easy it is like silence and taking it to the Lord, like not asking, oh, but Katie, you figure it out for me, or, oh, but you tell me what you think, but like, no, listen to myself and therefore, or the Holy Spirit who dwells inside of me to help me discern.
Mm-hmm.
That's what
I was thinking through some of my past experiences. And I shared with you the other day, this can be later or never today, whatever the case is, but I am in a certain scenario right now in my life. But back to when I was an eighth grade math teacher, that was probably an example of the wrong place for the right reasons.
Okay. I love that. Tell me about it. Cause I was curious and we did have it somewhere about, I wanted to know how you went from teaching to ministry. So let's go ahead and cover it.
So my family is lots and lots of education background. All the females basically before me were in education some way or another. My mom actually retired as a principal. And so I never felt forced though. Like I've always been independent, and honestly, people saying to do something makes me not want to do it. So I didn't become a teacher or want to become a teacher in college for the sake of my family. Like I never felt that pressure. I really just knew, okay, I'm gifted in speaking to people. I was that student in class that wanted to teach others who weren't doing it right. Like I wanted to help them. School was like a thriving place for me. I remember all good memories from school. Like some of these people that they just hear school and they're like, I want to run for my life. I'm like, no, I wanted more hours of school. Like I would go even college years. I would go back to college and get another degree if life allowed me. I just love learning. I love all aspects of pencil and paper and listening to somebody. Like it's just my jam. So I got my degree in middle school math, went back to my hometown, which I'm from Eddyville, Kentucky, good old Venture River Water Park. And don't blink, you'll miss it. The one stoplight, graduated with 60. And so we were living very, very close to there at the time. So it was great that I applied to my hometown school and got the job. And so I was there for 2.5, 3 years, but did have 2 babies while there. And took a year off, actually, in the middle of all of that after having Malin, then returned and had to tell them I'm pregnant with my second child now. Like, hey, I'm back, but I'm pregnant. And looking back at that, too, like, I for sure loved Jesus at that point in my life, but I definitely was not as mature.
How old were you? Do it care if I ask, how old were you when you had Malin?
24-ish, 24, okay. 25.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. We got married, what some people would say early, but we did wait. We waited to have kids. And so anyways, looking back now too, I wasn't like, I could have handled that much better. And so if any of them that were involved in those years of me there are thinking, yeah, you could have handled it better. Like, yeah, I'm so sorry.
You know, you say that, and I have said to myself so many times, like after 26 and 27, especially now 28, I don't think about it as much, but I had so many epiphanies of like, this is why they say that your brain isn't developed or fully formed till 25.
Absolutely.
Because like at 23, 22, I thought, I am 22. I'm after 21. I'm so wise. I'm an adult. I live on my own, all this stuff. And I am just like, look back and think, this is what they meant. Like, I get it. I felt like it was so like in a span, the growth I had in 365 days, maybe not like January to December, but just, I felt like, you know, after I turned the corner of 25, it just really so much, I figured out a lot. I was able to see myself for who I was, like good, bad, and ugly, like you said. And it's like, if you probably would have talked to me a year earlier, I would have been like, I'm so mature. I've got a full-time job. I make, you know, all this stuff. And so anyways, we all feel that way, I think, is just what I was getting at.
Well, and there was lots of life changes that happened at the same time that people won't care about, won't even understand. But we were shifting churches. We were actually shifting where we lived as a newly married couple. And so the last year that I was there, the one that I could have done a lot different was when I was pregnant with my second, and I was going to have time off after having her in the middle of the year anyway. But we were living at that time 45 minutes from that job. And so I just thought, it's fine.
I'm just going to quit.
No, I didn't intend on doing that. I thought it's going to be fine. Like, we only have one at home. I can rock having the second kid, pop right back to teaching, driving 45 minutes every morning, every afternoon's no big deal. Like, it's fine, you know. And so, long story short,
It was not fine.
It was not fine. But about 3 weeks before having her, I was put on just a really laid back bed rest. She was like, you're good, but you do need to not teach right now. And so that threw a big thing in it. And, you know, I'm sure that wasn't very... That didn't make anybody happy either, because I had already been off a whole year for my first kid, and now I'm back. Now I'm having another baby. Well, now you're on bed rest. And then I have her, and I'm on my leave, and I'm supposed to be coming back, and I'm picturing this life that I thought was going to be so easy. I'm picturing, okay, I have a baby and an 18-month-old. They're very close in age. We live 45 to 50 minutes out. I've got to start planning again. I've got to start driving almost an hour back and forth twice a day. Wow, this isn't as easy as I thought it was going to be. And so long story short, I did not go back that year. And the person that was in my role just finished the year out, which thank goodness that it was okay. But I probably knew that that was going to happen is how I regret it. Like, I knew that it wasn't going to work. And instead of saying that where they could have had more preparation, I just was like, it's not working. I won't be back this year, you know. And they could have had a lot more time to figure it out had I just said, you know, I had no idea we would be moving. I had no idea what this was going to be like having two young ones at home. But it's just, it's not going to be easy. And it's better that you all fill the role. You know what I mean? But I didn't do it like that. And so
that is a hard part of I'm going to say our personalities. I know other people share our personality and that it is a learning lesson. And I definitely think if you're working at it, it gets better with age, or if you don't, and if you never work at it, it will never get better because it doesn't get easier. You just train yourself to be better about it because it's always hard for people like us to be like, actually, no. But if you say no sooner than later, like you said, it's always an easier no, even though you don't make up your mind. Well, I didn't know that's how that worked, but wow, that was a lot going on at once.
All that to say, though, the point that I wanted to make was I was using my giftings. I was excited to be a teacher. I felt like I was good at it, you know, that it was something that God had blessed me with, and loved eighth graders. Everyone else doesn't love eighth graders. I love the awkwardness of eighth graders and how mean they can be. I loved it. But really, from my first year on, even though I trudged through and, like you just said, could have made it easier on other people's lives by just saying something, and I didn't because I'm like, I'm all good. I can do it. I knew that even though I'm doing it for the right reasons, I'm not mean and ill intention to anybody. I do love teaching. I knew in my heart that I'm in the wrong place. Like, this is not where I'm supposed to be using these giftings. And I even felt like I knew that he said, you're not meant to teach math. Like, you're going to teach something one day, but you're not meant to be in this room. And so, again, didn't go about it the right way. But I just wanted to share that because that's an example of wrong place for the right reasons. I didn't, you know, it just, I wasn't supposed to be there. And I knew that for sure. And I tried to force it. And so, again, that's when you end up hurting people, is I knew that I wasn't supposed to, but I covered that up for a while. And that ends up hurting people because I could have just said, I'm not supposed to, like, you can fill my role because I'm not supposed to be here.
I want to go back to when you were on, when you got the okay of, okay, you're taking a step back, got logistics worked. Tell me about how did that, you know, back to my question, how did that feel? Did you have immediate relief? I know you told me, and I relate to this so much in some of my own ways, but like you felt like the glue in a lot of things. And from an outsider, you weren't wrong. I mean, I saw you as the glue of a lot of things that were happening. Was it challenging to not worry about it anymore? Or were you so burnt out that when you stepped back, you're like, if I'm not going to be there, I'm going to make the most of it and like really not worry about it?
Well, and I think I touched on this a second ago too, but to go more in depth on it, I mean this for anybody that loves Jesus, like this applies to your life, but especially in ministry world, like that is what happens when we put ourselves, like, it sounds crazy, but you can serve in ministry and give your life for the church, but do it all in the name of yourself, you know? And that's what, maybe I was the glue to certain things, but in the end, that was the problem. The problem was me. The problem was I put all this pressure on myself to be the reason that this and this exist. And so I thought the reason that I needed the break was I'm burnt out, but you know, God ended up showing me while I'm gone, like, actually, hey, my church will continue. Like, you're awesome, but you ain't that awesome. So you need forever off. Well, they've already figured it out. So
yeah, they're going to move on. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which was it was the right place for the wrong reasons. I had made it about, again, not that hopefully people didn't feel that about me. It was more of an internal battle. You know, like I felt like I did love people. I was doing it to glorify him, but there was just this inside tugging of like, yeah, but do you really trust him? Do you really do it for him? Or is it more of like, this makes me feel good, you know? And so I ended up learning that while off, for sure. That was one of the biggest things is, wow, everything kept going. Wow, it's not that big of a deal, you know, that this one person is not there. And that was very humbling. But then to answer your question about if I felt immediate relief, I did definitely feel immediate relief in the responsibility of things. You know, it was nice not to be responsible for so much stuff the next morning. Like, it's just like, okay, all that's going to continue on. And here I am, like, not in charge of anything anymore, but almost, okay, so there was immediate relief of responsibility, but the war in my spirit of why I'm doing what I'm doing, that definitely wasn't relieved immediately, you know, because how could it be? If what's wrong is inside here, there's not a job change that's going to fix it, you know?
Right. But you emptied out the space to like,
right. Yep.
Really make that apparent. Like, okay, that's gone. Didn't fix it.
I remember telling our pastor too, when I was on the phone with him that day, again, blaming other things besides the real reason of what I was feeling. Like, I remember saying, just as a mom of four, I hadn't had my fifth yet. As a mom of four, I just don't know if I can practically do it. Like, if I want to take my kid to the dentist, I want to take my kid to the dentist. And I don't want to have to rearrange my whole week to take my kid to the dentist. And I remember him saying, Katie, you can take your kid to the dentist and still have this job. And it's just like, you know, we're so hard on ourselves that I was like, no, I can't. It's too much. Like, it felt so overwhelming to me. And what's so funny though, is when I stepped back and I was back in my role and, you know, that time was gone, guess how many times I took my kid to the dentist?
None.
So, all the appointments, all the things that I thought I wanted to do with my family. Mm-mm. I mean, I didn't, you know, because again, it was more in here than it was anything out there. You know, like, that has to be fixed first before any situation can resolve itself, you know. So.
So when did you know it was the right time to come back?
That is definitely the thing that, and I know he would say the same thing, that's the thing that we should have done better. That he absolutely had the right to say, you need to know by this date, you know, and he didn't do that to me. And I wasn't doing anything intentionally. I wasn't trying to lag people along.
Uh-huh.
But the timing was, I felt like we got to around maybe November, like Thanksgiving-ish. And I remember they had been to our house several times, not really to talk about that, just to hang out as friends. But we had touched on it and I had said, like, I think
that Allie and Dustin, our lead pastors, are Katie and Clint's very best friends.
Yes, yes. Which, it would be so unique to hear their perspective too one day, you know, because they didn't know, like, do we ask her? Or we're over at their house hanging out. Like, is it time to talk church? Is it time to talk? You know, she's not doing her job anymore. Like, do we need to bring it up? You know, like, hey, it's been a really long time. Have you figured something out yet? And again, he had every right to do that. And I wish that he knew back then that he could have, you know, he could have absolutely done that. But anyways, I felt like probably by Thanksgiving or so, I said something like, hey, I'm ready to be back. You know, I'm excited to be back. I miss it so much. But then the timing of what that does to a team, like, the year is basically over, you know, there was other reasons, but it just made more sense to start a new year with me back on staff. And there's even like the logistics of staff being paid and stuff like that. And the timing of what that looks like at
just
that point,
that.
It's just better to start back at the beginning of the year. So we had 21 days of prayer and fasting at the beginning of that year. And so his encouragement was for me before stepping back in, I want you to go through 21 days of prayer and fasting, still not on staff. And then after that is over, you can step back in. And so it's so funny looking back now, because it's been a while.
Yeah.
But there's still some aspects of it that seem like yesterday too, you know?
The last 2 years feel like an accumulation of yesterdays and forever at the same time.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Because I had to remember that, even looking through the notes, I'm like, oh gosh, when did that happen? You know, it's been 2 years, which is crazy. It's been 2 years this October. So, but then, you know, what I was feeling and thinking at the time, it's still so real here. You know, like, that part feels like yesterday for sure.
Yeah. And it was, you know, I don't think you, do you think you could have figured out some of that stuff without stepping away?
Probably so. I don't know. That is a hard question. I think the part about me realizing that things will go on without me, like that humbling, like, Katie, you're actually in the right place, but for the wrong reasons. I think that may not have been able to be figured out unless I got to see things continue on. You know, like, I remember, because I had, if it was 4 months, that's 16 Sundays that I attended the place that I'm usually bopping around, like, you know, taking care of things. And I just came and left. And the first 3 or 4 of those was so hard. So hard. But then that's when I realized real fast, like, okay, you might be a little burnt out and it's some time management and it's like, okay, it is a lot. But that's when I quickly realized, like, why does this bother you so bad? Like, why does it bother you so bad to come here and not be that person? Well, that's because you were doing it for yourself, you know? Like,
yep.
why does it bother you so bad that people aren't having to come up to you today? Like, people would come hug me, but they're hugging me as their friend. And I'm like, they're not having to ask me any questions. Like, I'm not having to answer their issues. I'm not having to help them in life. And that, again, the right place, but for the wrong reasons. And that was revealed, I think, definitely through time off. But like I said, I didn't go to any dentist appointments. I didn't do any of that. So that part was not resolved. No, I could have just stayed where I was at and figured it out.
But that shows you something in itself. Of it's like, okay, I said I want this. I said this is how it's going to be. It's like grass greener on the other side. Like,
right. Yes.
No. But I think that's where, you know, it's a fine balance of you say, and I say, I'm telling this to myself, like, oh my gosh, I want so much help. Like, I do this, I do that, blah, 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 blah. But then it's like, okay, well, if nobody's asking you for it and they're just taking care of it, well, then you feel like you're obsolete. So it's like, okay, what do we really want? Because we can't like have both.
Yeah. Like, I wanted time off, and then it became the normal where no one's asking about it anymore. I'm like, I thought y'all loved me, you know? It's like, no, Katie. Like, I don't even remember people texting me saying, I know you're trying to figure things out. And I know that you're even questioning a little bit, like, do you need to do this role? And so I'm not going to manipulate you to beg you to be here. And that is so kind of those people. But I remember thinking, like, why not? I need you to beg me, you know? And again, all of that struggle just revealed, like, okay, Katie, you are gifted. You're even in the right place and your right calling, but you're doing it for the wrong reasons, you know? And so again, that time off definitely revealed that for sure.
That's so good. Well, I mentioned something earlier that I wanted to like unpack for people who didn't know what I meant. But like when I say big C and little C, and you know, for big C being like Christians, like being in the body, the church of believers, the body of Christ is the big C. The little C is like the church you attend, the building, the place, the way that it functions. And even being, you know, one of the things that, and I didn't say this exactly, but I definitely think, you know, through our connection and in the last 2 years for me, I've moved from being, you know, to being a true participating member of the church. And when I said that, you know, and I talked a little bit about this earlier about just like how much my life has changed since I've gotten involved with the church. And I'm not huge on like bold statements as a, this is the way it has to be, like words of Rachel. Like, you know, it's one thing to like quote scripture, like, you know, if like the black and white of those things, like I'm not calling that, but like, I'm not that person that I'm going to make a big stand about stuff on Facebook or whatever, really even with stuff that I believe big in. That's just not me. But there's one thing that I was like, typing out these notes that I think that I'm like, gotta like plant my flag in, that there's one thing that I could like tell other believers, is other anybody, but especially other believers or people, you know, that, you know, that's how they identify of, I said I was a believer. I said I was a Christian for a really long time and was not an active member of a little C. And especially in the way that in a body of people that were pushing me outside of the doors spiritually to feed myself, to not just, you know, come and be fed or come and do this or check the box, but really wrestling with things on my own, pointing me to the word. And it's one of those things that now that I'm through it, I'm like, you know, I just don't think that like, this is how it's meant to be. This is how it's meant to operate. You cannot have the relationship with Christ that you're supposed to, if you are not an active member in a little C. You know, to be the version of the big C that you need to be, you got to be in a little C.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it just, it's one of those things where, because it's, but it's interesting for you because you're in your world. And I think when you're, for me, I feel a lot of ownership in our church as if, and I hope that anybody feels this way, but I think especially as a growing church, a newer church, which I mean, we're five, so it doesn't feel like, I don't know how long are we going to get to say that. We're like, oh, we're still a new church, 15 years old. You know, I don't know at what point we'll like quit like rapping that drum, but I definitely.
We're in the clear. Five is still definitely,
you know, I think so too. Yeah. So I just like, there's so much ownership and there's a lot of like technicalities and professional sense of like, obviously we need Purpose Church. Like, I'm going to call a spade, like, we want Purpose Church to be successful. We need Purpose Church to be successful, to keep being able to serve people in our community, to love people like Jesus. Like, there are a lot, like, and that's how we like, I love that you guys say we measure what matters. Like, we count the money in our wallet. Like, why do we not, like, we want the performance of our attendance, like, all of those things, because those are people behind those numbers. I mean, that's got to be hard to compartmentalize and just balance. And so I have questions about that. And I think that's on a high level. If you just want to kind of tell me about that world, living it every day and being paid to be there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think, yeah, there is it. And I don't even know that you can prepare for, like, you can be gifted and you can be, you know, you feel like God's called you to the ministry life. But just also disclaimer, I know people say this all the time that's in church world and it gets so annoying, but it is such a true thing that, like, I might be paid to be on staff here at Purpose Church, but, like, you know, where you find yourself in your life, like, Rachel isn't, you're in your ministry mission-minded world too. You know, like, it's not being on church staff that makes it is my job is not more important, you know, than where God has called other people.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But it is arguably more sticky when it comes to, like, because I don't have to discern that. Like, Purpose is just my church, not my employer, you know, and that's more of what I mean. And you're right. Like, I love that disclaimer, but that's what this is not about you being on the spot of saying one thing or the other, but there is a reality of that that's got to be hard.
Mm-hmm. And that, I mean, some of that probably played into that time off too. Like, with any new job, it's so much more than a job, but at the same time, it is my job. And so with any new job, you're so excited. It's all fun and games. It's like, give me all the things to do. Like, I can handle that. I can tackle that. And you almost are able to not feel the immediate just weight.
That is so true.
You don't feel the weight. We like to say around here, weight instead of pressure. Like, it's a healthy weight that you feel, but it takes time to recognize it when stepping into ministry. And I think that I didn't, and no one can really prepare you for it. It's just, I realized it quickly. Like, hey, you may have vision for that area. God may really make it easy for you to operate that team. But at the end of the day, you are stewarding his people. Like, people are going to say, You are a part of their story and their relationship with Jesus. You know, like, you have more on your plate than whether check-in is working.
Whether the iPads are printing out,
you know,
or
like
stickers.
I may have to oversee that. And that's an excellent part of our experience for people here at Purpose Church. But at the end of the day, like, and I'm just putting this in a kid's perspective rather than the what the executive ministry role kind of entails. But when it comes to, like, overseeing a kid's ministry, you know, these kids and what they're learning and whether they are learning about Jesus and whether your volunteers are healthy. Like, who are my volunteers when they're not working at Purpose Church on a Sunday morning?
Right.
Are they growing in Jesus? Like, you know, it's, again, not that it is only my responsibility, but it's a lot different than an outside of church job when it comes to that weight.
For sure.
Because it's all a spiritual thing. And
do you try to, like, have some kind of boundary? Because it's like, it's people you care about. So you can't be like, oh, mm-hmm. 5, I'm not going to talk to Rachel. It's after 5, you know, Rachel's in crisis. Sorry, business hours at 8. Like, obviously you don't operate that way. But at the same time, like, you can't, you know, there is a level there too.
Right. No, it's, I don't know that I have achieved that part of it for sure. Just because, for one, our staff is so small that put the friendship or just people maybe needing some advice to the side, like, just practically leading the people I'm supposed to lead, they have full-time jobs. And so they're not available for meetings or much talking throughout the day until after the day. And so that, until you can have a larger staff, that in itself is its own working. Yeah. It's something that you've got to figure out, you know, because they are worth it. It's worth it to me to figure out how to meet with them. But then again, I don't want to put, you know, family at the bottom either. Sure. And so that's definitely something that I am still working through, that I do not have mastered.
Do you like have something like somebody you like to look to read on or listen to? Like, is there like another place?
I will. So this is just like a little
plug
tidbit. Yeah, plug. I'm in Charlotte Gamble's leadership circle called The Collective. And it is mainly for ministry leadership, mm-hmm. but honestly, there's lots of business-minded leaders, women in it too. But that is the biggest influence in my life at the moment as far as outside of Purpose Church and outside of the Word.
Yeah.
But just practically someone pouring into my life. It is that group of people, okay. her, but then there's women in it. Because just to know, they all relate to me.
Is so that
they
helping are all you? Like,
yes, absolutely. Good. Because that's one thing that also, to answer your question, something that is hard in ministry is you give, pour, answer this, answer that, solve this. And I'm sure other jobs are the same. But again, there's that spiritual side of it to where I'm pouring out Jesus to other people. Like, I'm like, listen to this, read this. Like, he says this about your life, to where you can easily forget your own walk with him, mm-hmm. you know? And it's that alone is probably, not to make it sound so drag, but that's probably the scariest place to be in ministry, is that you would be operating in a way that you know all the answers, but you don't have a relationship anymore with the one that put you in that spot in the first place. You know, like, I'm pointing all these people to Jesus, but then I haven't talked to him in 3 days, you know? And that is definitely, I think that alone is probably the hardest part of ministry. You know, not the boundaries are important, the hours are important, but it's losing sight of, you know, like, who am I if I'm not Katie, Executive Director of Ministries? My relationship with Jesus should be the exact same.
Right.
You know? And that alone is probably, to me, the hardest dynamic of ministry, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So you were not working. You were a full-time mom when you were living in Mayfield, going to church there. You were never on staff somewhere else. Is that correct?
Nope. Yes, okay. I had that in-between time of teaching and ministry.
Did you – tell me about that. Like, did you know with Dustin and Allie, were they like, we know we want you – like, tell me about that.
In a nutshell, too, some cool things that led up to Purpose Church and helping launch it. We had gotten to know – Dustin and Allie at another church when they were on staff there. And so that is even how we ended up in the location that we were living at the time, was because of that church. And then so then some things happened, and they were not in that role anymore. And so we said, since that is kind of the reason why we found ourselves in this town, we're actually going to go back home. And it would have never affected our friendship, but just the reason to live there isn't, like, we don't need to live here anymore. And so we were headed back home, and had actually bought land to build what I would probably call our dream home, I guess. And that's when Dustin and Allie approached us about launching a church in Murray. And so then we sold the land. We decided to stay. We said, we're doing it with you. But through all that process, never once, you know, just because we were helping launch it, what we called the launch team, like, we're one of the original people, you know, that were behind the vision of Purpose Church. Never once thought, well, I'm only helping launch it because I'm going to be on staff. Like,
okay.
No, like,
you were just a part of the launch team. Got it.
Yes.
See, I wasn't even sure how that all started.
Nope. And in our previous church, when we were there with them, I helped with the youth ministry. But again, it was a volunteer just on every Wednesday night. I love to be around kids. I'm already teaching them during the day. I'd love to help, you know. And definitely became interested in, because again, it's similar giftings to when I was in the classroom. So yeah. I think that's what attracted me so much was, wow, I feel like I'm thriving. I feel like this brings me joy. I'm doing it for a reason bigger than myself, but I'm still able to, like, be myself here and use the things I'm good at. Mm-hmm. And so when we launched, actually, I helped out with the kids area. Again, no intentions of ever working at church. I just thought that's where I'm supposed to be. Like, if you ask me where I'm going to be involved in church, I know no other place to tell you other than the kids area. Like, that's where you'll find me. As we were getting things launched, and we would have these meetings where people would come to learn about it if they're interested, I helped with the kids back then. And then once we officially launched and we were portable in the middle school, I guess I did start out in this role, but it was clearly not a future staff role.
Yeah.
No, it was just, you're going to basically oversee the preschool room, because as we launch And as we had so many kids come from the very beginning, we were like, okay, nobody's even paid to work here. Like, who's going to do these things on a Sunday? And so we had somebody kind of overseeing kids as a whole, loved her to pieces. And she asked me, would you mind to kind of be what you would call probably a preschool coordinator? And so if they were somewhere like in the 3, 4, 5 year old range, and I was pregnant myself too at the time.
Was this number?
That would have been... Oh my gosh, that would have been Remy.
Remy.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that would have been Remy.
Remy is my girl. That's why I made that horrible little noise when I said her name.
I think it would have been Remy. Isn't that so bad? It's Remy or Cal.
I mean, you have five, Katie. Like, I think people are going to give you a break.
I think Remy. It would have been Remy. Yes. I was pregnant actually when we were launching the church, and then okay. had her right after we launched. Mm-hmm. But then had her step back in and stayed with preschool and some things. Like, at that time, I still am getting so interested in how does all this ministry world work? Like, it's leadership, but it's for Jesus.
You were kind of like a student again, too. Like,
yes.
See, because it's very fascinating to me, too. Clearly, that's why I have so many questions for you. But anyway, so, okay, cool.
Yep. It was just learning. Okay. Like, I love doing what I'm doing in preschool, but I naturally had the mindset, and we were actually talking about this earlier today as a staff, I naturally had the mindset that wanted to oversee more. Like, I thought, okay, so I've built this, and not that it's all my glory. I don't mean that at all, but I've built this preschool team and I've gotten to use my gifts and talents and I'm seeing them thrive and I'm so thankful. Now what? Like, I don't want to just operate here anymore. I want to move on to the next thing and help build it. And I want to, you know, all in the name of building the church, hopefully for the right reasons, even though it didn't always work out that way. But it was never anything I asked for sure. Like, I just found myself in the right place for the right reasons. And it just led to him, like, giving me the desires of my heart. And it's so crazy because people say that all the time, like, whatever the Bible says, that he'll give you the desires of your heart. But it's actually, when your desires are him, then he will give you the desires, you know, but if they're selfish ones, then they're not in him anyway. But I did write down that I wanted to share just if we plant ourselves where our feet are, you know, instead of looking so far ahead and just serve him right where we are, then that's when he will. It'll just out of the blue, like, wow, I didn't see this coming. I have the opportunity to oversee all of kids. Like, great. I can't wait. Like, yes, sign me up, you know? And so that's where I found myself was, some people had shifted, but I had been so committed to the room that I was blessed with, the team I was blessed with, and just being right where he called me, that then I had the opportunity to step into overseeing kids, which was not on staff at the time. It took many years for that to be a staff thing, but was happy to do it. Didn't want to be paid for it. Didn't want to be on staff necessarily. That wasn't why I was doing it. I just loved it. And so that was a step in a direction that I felt like, okay, I never saw it coming, but this is exactly what I want to do. Like, I want this ministry world thing just came out of the blue. And I thought, this is, I don't feel like I felt in the classroom anymore.
Yeah.
This is not the wrong place for the right reasons. This is lining up with just what my heart desires for sure.
I would give, I bet anything that Joel, who helps make the show, that this is going to be the tag. That will be the title of the episode. I bet you anything. He figures out that the right place for the right reasons with Katie Sibbles. I bet it's going to be something like that. But no, I highlighted 2 days ago, and that's what I like. Once again, I think it's one of those things when you start walking in the light, like you said, when like your desires start becoming his desires. So much of what you read in the Bible doesn't sound cheesy anymore. It's like, yes, like Matthew 7:8, for everyone who asks receives, for the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be open. And it's like, yes, like it makes so much more sense. It's so true.
Yep.
When, like you said, like when what you're seeking is him, when what you're, you know, it just hits differently.
Mm-hmm.
When you really get it. And like, as a somebody who I think, like I said, is like 2 years, 18 months into like really getting it for the first time, for somebody who has said, you know, that they've been a believer since I was, you know, 13 years old, 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
It's just still like gives is chilling of like, this is why it says this. This is why it's true. This, like, and you see it play out in your life when you're submitting your desires, when you're submitting, yes, and you're sharing your desires, and all of that aligns with what it's supposed to be. Well, Katie, thank you so much for your time. I'm like looking through our notes. We bebopped around, but we covered so much in an hour.
Typical us. Yes. Typical us.
And you know, I love that a podcast has given me an hour of your undivided attention, which selfishly I'm so honored to get, because I never, you are balancing all the things, and it's just you always pour into me, and it's just so good to hear from you, hear more about your story in ways that, like, I like to say we have formed a friendship through very vulnerable, like, 90-second intervals, whether it's in voice memos or, like, literally 3 minutes of in-between stuff at church. Like, we have, I was going to say, like, down and dirty. That sounds gross. But, you know, like, yeah. It's just like, we, like, just got into the heart of the matter.
We ain't got time for the surface level conversations.
No. And that's what, how you, that's so much of the heart of how you get there, too. So thank you for being with me today.
Absolutely. I loved it. Loved it so much. And love you.
I love you. Thank you for joining me this week. I hope this episode met you where you were at, and it's given you your own clarity on steps forward for how you get there. Wherever and whatever that is, it is important, and your dreams matter. I would love to hear what you think of this episode and how you get there. You can connect with me personally via email at howyougetthere@gmail.com. Or you can find me at Rach Ross Denson on Instagram, TikTok, and all other social media platforms. If you love How You Get There, I have a favor to ask. Will you share this episode with a friend and take a few seconds to follow, rate, and review How You Get There wherever you listen to your podcast? Please know you are playing a part in making my dream come to life, and for that, I am so grateful. Don't forget, if where you want to go in the future involves a home loan, I would love to help you. Find me on Instagram at @RachelDenson_MLO to learn all about mortgages from my videos, or use the link in the bio to schedule a one-on-one consultation with me. I hope to see you back here next week, where we'll keep talking all about how you get there.